a diabetes breakthrough.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, our friendly neighborhood co-host, Chris O'Brien, is on the road this week. We have him. Where are you, as a matter of fact? Where in the world, on this planet, are you? Where are you on another planet?
I'm back in colorful Colorado here in Boulder. Had a great time speaking with the paranormal group in Denver, and had a great turnout, had a lot of fun. Sanitized my presentation a little bit, but for the most part, had a good time. And, hey, even sold a few books, Gene.
Well, that's the one thing, too. The more you give the lectures, the better they are. It's kind of like radio broadcasting. Yeah. You know, year after year, you get better and better at it. Except for me. I, of course, am deteriorating rapidly. And soon my brain will turn to sawdust. But until then, I'm going to keep going.
Well, I thought you were going to say, how can you improve on perfection?
There is that. Okay. I didn't want to say that because people will think, gee, he's just an egomaniac. He has to be an egomaniac to go on the radio and think each and every week that he's going to be listened to. But I have to tell you that we did something technically to our sites over the past week. Some of you were getting these weird messages on the screen about something called Cloudflare. And Cloudflare is a worldwide content management network. What does that mean? It means that our site is now available around the world through 14 different network systems. And what it means is that our traffic is up 25 to 50% over what it was a couple of weeks ago.
So oh,
we see more activity in the forums. We have more listeners downloading the episodes after they're broadcast over GCN. An incredible amount. Thousands and thousands of new listeners are hearing the Paracast.
All right. Welcome.
Cloudflare.
I thought it's Godzilla having an embarrassing moment.
Well, you know, Godzilla has been having an embarrassing moment since that last film where they tried to remake Godzilla, if you remember that.
Yeah, with Matthew Broderick.
Right. That was produced by the people who brought you Independence Day. And if you can believe that an Apple PowerBook from the mid-90s can communicate wirelessly with an alien network and bring down their system with a computer virus, you can believe anything.
Well, you notice they were using an Apple and not a PC.
There is that. There is that, indeed. You know, we talk so much about our forums and the increased activity. Sometimes the discussions get interesting or offbeat. It's not just about UFOs, paranormal subjects, or crop circles, which will be our major point of discussion in a few minutes when we meet our guests this week. They talk about things like vaccination. Do you think that children should be vaccinated? There's an argument that says, no, they shouldn't because it increases the possibility of autism.
Well, I don't know. Some of the conversations, I've been scratching my head going, you know, why are we talking about this? It's not really paranormal, but in the freewheeling, general freewheeling chit-chat threads, boy, I guess, sky's the limit for subject matter. It's been very interesting over the past 3 weeks.
You know, people used to argue about, and we haven't started this argument yet, and now you'll see it, about fluoride, putting fluoride in water, which was supposed to, of course, reduce the incidence of cavities, which is why, I guess, children have less dental problems than adults. But over the years, there were arguments about it. In fact, Ray Palmer, the guy we remember from the Shaver mystery, from his involvement in the Maury Island hoax or whatever it was, you know, Ray Palmer, the co-founder of Fate magazine in the 50s and 60s, he was arguing with his readers over whether water should be fluoridated. Can you believe
that? What side did he come down on?
Against.
Okay.
He said it would cause mottled teeth, you know, discolored, ugly-looking teeth. On the other hand, if it was a choice of having teeth that didn't look quite as good and fewer cavities, you know where I'd go.
Yeah. You go to the bleaching salon there in Scottsdale.
Exactly. You know, I'll put some money together, go to the bleaching salon, or use one of those substances you can buy to bleach your teeth.
Right, like those mouth guards that have that weird stuff in it.
Well, no, that because one of the people in our forums will say that's dangerous. It contains mercury or something.
Well, as long as they keep me out of it and don't start dogging me too bad, I'm okay. I love to sit on the fence and in the peanut gallery and just observe the repartee. We have some very intelligent posters who are very passionate about their views.
And they talk about everything, which is why we call it general freewheeling chit-chat, which is one of the boards in the paranormal forums over at theparacast.com, or if you want to be precise, forum.theparacast.com. And you can join up. It's free, by the way. You know, we're not charging for the message boards. We're not charging for the show. It's free. But, of course, with the show, you have to listen to the commercials, the price of free radio. But we hope that you'll like some of the products and services anyway. One of the products and services we keep pushing, of course, is that 5-DVD set. And I'm going to give Chris another chance to talk about this because it was the subject of one of our previous episodes, the Disclosure Dialogues, which consists of 12 hours of discussions. It's not interviews. People talking about disclosure. People like Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Danny Sheehan, Nick Pope, Richard Dolan, Stephen Bassett even. Although we've had our run-ins with him, Paul Davids, Paula Harris, we had our run-ins with her. George Norrie, yeah, or Snorri, excuse me, George Snorri, we have to correct the spelling on that. George Knapp, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Stonehill, Peter Robbins, Stan Romanek, well, nobody's perfect. Ron James and Christopher O'Brien and many more. Christopher O'Brien doesn't even believe in disclosure, does he?
Well, I was one of, I think, four dissenting voices in the project that I was asked to put together in an objective way, and I think I did a pretty good job. I'm pretty proud of winning my first film festival and with the project, and then getting the People's Choice Award was very, very gratifying.
I think the point to mention here is it's kind of like a Supreme Court ruling. And what that means is there are different opinions, a lot of different opinions about disclosure, whether it's possible, whether it's worth the effort, or just possibly running in the wrong direction. Regardless, the point is that they had different points of view. And because it was a discussion, not an interview, maybe some people changed their minds during the course of the sessions.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Richard Dolan and Danny Sheehan had one of the more fascinating dialogues. And Danny, I think, really effectively convinced Richard that we need to look at this whole potential disclosure process, if it's not already unfolding, but look at it from a grassroots point of view and really organize in the communities, in the synagogues, temples, and churches, and in civic groups, and create a groundswell of indignation that the politicians can't ignore, and that will have at least more of a chance than what we have now with Bassett's petitioning the White House efforts. I applaud the stick-to-itiveness that he has, and you know, he's a real trooper, but unless you do it from the grassroots up, it's really, it just doesn't have a chance of happening, if there's anything even to disclose to begin with.
And this is an election year, so you don't think Obama is going to want to admit, yeah, we take UFOs seriously, because the people on the other side are going to say, see, the president's a wacko. Already they're calling him everything on the earth and beyond, and of course, each party will call the other horrible things. So, therefore, this will make it worse. It's not politically correct this year to have disclosure, even if it was going to happen. It was going to happen maybe in 2013.
It's a toxic third rail.
Indeed. Now, the subject of our discussion today may or may not be related to UFOs. It's predominantly crop circles.
Yeah, funny you should mention that. I have a talk that I'm giving here in Boulder that's looking at the potential connection or the implied connection between UFOs, crop circles, alien abductions, all manner of religious miracles and cryptozoological creatures and paranormal events. But in today's show, we're going to be talking with one of the preeminent researchers in the crop circle phenomenon. I've known Nancy for many years. She is a real straight shooter. I think that her work, along with BLT Research and Dr. Levengood, it was pioneering in this field of diagnostic science as it relates to the crop circle phenomenon. Nancy's been really pushing behind the scenes to get access to more gear, better scientists, and she has a really cool announcement that she's going to be making on tonight's show related to some of her ongoing work and research, and I'm really looking forward to getting the details from her tonight.
Yes, she's making progress. Nancy Talbot coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, towline, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
All whey protein powders are not created equal. Fresh liquid whey has been used for hundreds of years to restore health to the sick and youth to the aging. Why is it that no one reports these benefits from today's whey protein powders? It is because they are all processed with heat or chemicals, which damages the protein and amino acids, making them allergy-causing or toxic to your body. One World Whey's True Cool process retains all the powerful properties of fresh raw whey in a concentrated powder. My name is Stephen Heuer. As a degreed nutritionist, my goal is to make you healthy in as short a time and as affordably as possible. One World Whey is speeding up the process of helping people get healthy and is replacing the need for many other supplements, making it more affordable. To learn how One World Whey may help you with fat loss, the elimination of inflammation and pain, detoxification of heavy metals, intestinal health, brain function, and increases in strength, energy, and muscle size, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, of course, on remote location in Colorado, we have Nancy Talbot, and the focus is primarily on crop circle research, but she has an organization she works with called BLT Research. And when I think of that, I think someone is making sandwiches for people. What's this about, Nancy?
Well, when we first started, it was a very casual getting together of the Michigan biophysicist William Levengood, that's the L, John Burke, who was a businessman very interested in electrical phenomena, that's the B, and me, Nancy Talbot, that's the T. And in England, people wanted to know what to call us. And so I was joking. I was just being silly. I looked at our last names and I thought, oh, good, BLT, that's easy to remember. And figured I might as well be the tomato. And so I named it BLT Research because we had to have a name. And I am the tomato. And John, of course, has died now. Levengood is very elderly. And we now have a number of other consulting scientists in the group. But BLT is what stuck.
So if you want to have a sandwich, you can have it in honor of the original founders of the organization.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I used to have BLT sandwiches when I was just a little kid. Brings me back to that. Okay, crop circle research. I think we should look at the history here because I think the common perception on the part of lots of people is, oh, they've got those crazy people who go out into the wilderness in the United Kingdom and they make crop circles. It's kind of artwork. So how do we distinguish that from the mystery in general? What's our history?
Well, there are three scientific peer-reviewed published papers that we did back in the 90s, presenting the changes, the results of the examinations of thousands, and I mean thousands, of plant samples and controls from crop circles in England, in Holland, in Germany, in Israel, in Australia, in Canada, in the U.S., and nowadays in many other places, Poland and a number of others. But in the genuine phenomenon, when it's not mechanically flattened by people, you find certain basic changes in the plants, certain changes in the growth habit of the seeds taken from those plants. There is also the presence of these tiny little magnetic spheres found in the soils. And then the most recent in-depth study was of specific clay minerals in the crop circle soils, which showed changes that absolutely 100% knock out the idea that mechanical flattening with planks, boards, whatever, could possibly be the cause.
Now, how far back can we take the crop circle phenomenon?
It appears that it may have been occurring historically as far back as the 1500s. Obviously, we don't have aerial photographs from back then, but there are writings by science people in the U.K.
Yeah, and I love the woodblocks, the woodblock of the mowing devil that's pretty famous that I've seen in a number of books.
Well, that one I'm not so sure about. I'm more confident of the stuff that we put in our other facts section in which the British science journal Nature in July of 1880 published a letter from one of the scientists in which he described and also drew pictures of these events which he had found on his own farm in southern England. And so at least back to 1880, and then in 1686, there was another thing written called A Natural History of Staffordshire, in which also another scientist had drawn illustrations of what looked like crop circles that he also had found in southern England on his estate. So when did they start originally? I don't know. We do know as far back as this, it appears they were occurring. And the current flap began in the 70s, and it was Pat Delgado in 1981. Yeah, it was 81. I'm writing this up right now because of something that's just happened. Pat Delgado was the first person to not only notice them in England in current times, but to begin studying them. And he notified the media of three circles which he had discovered and was looking at a place called Chesfoot Head in 1981. And from there, it took off like a moody goose.
A moody goose?
A moody goose. In other words, fur flying in every direction.
Of course, and then we have Colin Andrews, of course, got involved, coined the term. Michael Glickman was another early pioneer. One of my favorite books on the crop circle phenomenon actually was given to me by Lawrence Rockefeller. It's called Corn Circles, and it traces the patterning of complexity from 1986 in Chiswood Head all the way to the mid-90s, and it shows the patterning of complexity in the phenomenon. But we do know, Nancy, that there are groups of people that are going out there, Team Satan, John, I think is at Lumberg, and others, Matthew Williams, who claim that they're hoaxing some of these of the more elaborate circles. Where do you come down on the, let's say, a percentage of true anomalous?
Nobody can give you an accurate percentage, Chris, because the only way you could do that
is to test them all.
If you tested in, let's say, one summer, if you tested every single circle in at least one country in one summer, then you could come up with a statistic, and nobody has ever done it. We can't afford ourselves the amount of money that would take to do in England when you get at least 50 or 60 every summer. That would take years of work and a great deal of money. So there's no data that would tell you what percentage. From the work that we did in the 90s, where I was deciding completely at random which circles we would sample. This was when I had three or four or five teams in England, some of whom were paid, some of whom were volunteers, one of whom was a professional ag person, because I didn't want any bias in the sampling. These people would only sample the ones I chose. And I did it with a random thing here, which would tell me sometimes I would pick every fifth circle. Sometimes I'd pick two right in a row. Sometimes I'd pick, you know, every seventh or eighth. And then they would go and do the same protocol in every case, do the sampling of the plants inside and out, and the soils inside and out. And then all of this stuff, once the plants were dried down, I had to rent barns and things like that to hang the plants up, because if you mail them before they're dry, you get this opportunistic fungus that grows, and it makes it impossible to do the work.
Contamination of evidence, then.
Yes.
Okay.
So in those years, when we were getting many, many circles from the UK, at least 80, 85% of what we looked at turned out to be the real McCoy. But remember, we only sampled erratically. It was very erratic on purpose. I didn't look at them. I did not make the judgment to sample based on what they looked like at all. I simply picked, you know, I decide one year we're going to do every third one or every tenth one, and then we're going to do two, and then
we're going to... It's kind of a randomized selection. We're going to explore a lot more about crop circles, but more important, some of the most recent developments that make this even a more compelling mystery to confront. We have Nancy Talbot of BLT Research. With Gene and Chris, you're in...
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Attention, information in this one-minute message could save your life. Don't wait for the next emergency to happen. Act now to be prepared. Now, more than ever, civilians and communities must communicate with family, friends, and neighbors in the event of civil unrest, natural disasters, or other emergencies. That's why there's CivilDispatch.com. CivilDispatch.com is a universal system that can be used for a wide array of urgent notification alerts. Weather emergencies, civil unrest, emergency responders, amber alerts, school or business closings, any need-to-know situation. CivilDispatch.com is an emergency dispatch communication system, allowing anyone to quickly and easily send and instantaneously track emergency email and text alert notifications. CivilDispatch.com gives you the power of enterprise alerting without the enterprise cost. Don't find yourself unprepared. Learn more and become a member at CivilDispatch.com. That's CivilDispatch.com, civilian emergency dispatch system. Peace through preparedness.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
Chris is sounding mysterious. When you set him up on location, the voice deepens. You know, the trickster starts to take control.
Well, I want to get back to that point Nancy made before the break that you guys with a very good random sampling that you were, you know, giving your researchers and investigators in the field specific random circles to sample. At about in 99, I seem to recall that Colin Andrews made a big announcement, and he claimed that he thought up to 80% of crop circles were hoaxed, and he was getting out of the crop circle field and selling off his research even. Were you working with him at that point? Was he aware of the results you were getting by 99?
No. I haven't had anything to do with Colin in many, many years. That statement of his, in my opinion, was made just to get attention. I have never seen any data that would support, yeah, you know, that statement.
I was very surprised when I heard him say that, because I felt that there was much more, based on your work, obviously, and the work of others, that there is a true mystery there, and to discount
even one, Chris. I mean, hell, if there's
one is important.
You can't explain, then there's a mystery.
And another thing that he made by that correct. Time,
but
by that
I time, saw data that would tell you that.
Yeah, and by that time in 99, you'd also BLT had done the bovine excision site study, and you found very compelling evidence that seemed to correlate the types of results that we were finding at cattle mutilation sites with some of the results you were finding in the crop circles, including the case that I was involved with in the San Luis Valley, where you found hundreds of times the amount of magnetite around the actual animal versus the amount of magnetite in the soils at a control distances. So, you know, I think that there's definitely something there, and I really urge our listeners to go to the BLT site. You have a wonderful site that has a ton of interesting information, all sorts of reports and case studies, and we'll get into that later. But let's go ahead and dovetail to the present, Nancy, and talk about this exciting work that you're doing now. Why don't you kind of set the table for us a little and describe what you're currently working on.
And let's tell the people, first of all that early plant work is on the website under the plant abnormality section. Then underneath that, you will find the magnetic material in the soils. And beneath that, the thing that I want to start with today, which is the clay mineral X-ray diffraction study that we did on a crop circle, a seven circle event that occurred in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, in 1999. And I recently, as you know, have put up an Unsolved Mysteries, a clip from Unsolved Mysteries, which talks about with something we didn't know at the time we did this study. It wasn't until we were finished that we discovered this. But apparently there were multiple witnesses, eyewitnesses, to UFOs directly over the study field just prior to the circle being discovered. Now, I didn't know that, and none of our scientists did until the work was all finished. But when you read through the results of that study and you begin to understand what they mean, the UFO presence then becomes perhaps quite significant. The objectives of that study, the X-ray diffraction study, was to look at certain clay minerals. A woman in Logan, Utah, a geologist who had read our work, her personal work was the heat effects on clay minerals. And she knew that Levengood had proposed that there was a heating agency, probably microwaves, involved in the crop circle causation. What she reasoned was, if he was correct, and it was microwaves or something like that, causing these changes in the plants, you ought to also find evidence of that heat in these clay minerals. Now, what she did was she went and took a few samples from a crop circle at Logan, Utah, which was near her house. And she did a study, it's called X-ray diffraction. You extract the clay minerals from the soils, you put them on a mount, and the mount is then put into the X-ray diffraction machine. The machine simply bombards the sample with X-rays and produces a graph, which material scientists know how to read. The graph then shows you the type of minerals which are in that sample, and it also tells you the degree of crystallization of those minerals. Now, changes in these very specific clay minerals that we were looking at occur in nature only in sedimentary rock. This is sediments that have then had slowly, you know, mountains build up over the sediments, pressing down with the weight of all this other soil, literally mountains. It's what they call geologic pressure. The combination of that and heat from the Earth's core over thousands of years is what can produce this increase in the crystalline structure of these illite, smectite minerals in the soils. Now, we did not think we were going to find that because it is only seen in sedimentary rock. But we decided to go ahead and try it anyhow. The reason we did was that Rockefeller had contacted me, had offered money to do another study. And since we thought this was a sensible thing to check, we offered this as a possible study. It's the one he wanted us to do. And so we did. And what we did in this case was very carefully again. First of all, the circle occurs, and it occurs in a barley field that is infested with Canadian thistle. This is a very thick, sharp, you know, all sorts of little sharp things on it, plant. The field was filled with this stuff. It's impossible to move around in such a place without high leather boots because you really tear your legs to pieces. At any rate, that's where the circle was. We could see visually the elongated top node, the apical node. We could see expulsion cavities, these holes blown out at the lower nodes. This was a very good indicator that that particular crop circle would be a good one to use as the study circle. And so we chose it. And what happened then was I picked a field worker team, a brand new one, people who had never done anything like this before. They were given the protocol, and all they did was go in and follow exactly what the protocol told them to do, taking plant samples, and a plant sample is about 20 plants sliced off at the base, right where it comes out of the soil, and then a soil sample taken at exactly the same location. This was done throughout three of the circles, and then, of course, way out into the field for the controls. Those plants and those soils were then sent to a number of different scientists. The plants went to Levengood, who did what he always does. He measured the top nodes, he counted the expulsion cavities, he did growth experiments, all of which produced statistically significant findings. There were, you know, there was node elongation, there were expulsion cavities, there were growth abnormalities.
Now, then, we have to translate this to English a little bit here because we're not all scientists and we need to understand what this means. So are we saying then that some kind of external force created them and we have to assume it's intelligent?
No, I didn't say anything like that. I said simply that the plants taken from inside the circle had the top node in those plants.
We're looking right now at the reaction, at the chemical reaction to the plants that were subjected.
We don't know. We don't know what caused it. We simply know it's happened.
Okay, so we're looking at the effects.
Yeah, the first thing you do is you document the effect. The idea as to what caused it is something you develop based on the entire group of effects you document. You don't take just one effect. You look at them all together. And then you try to come up with some sort of an answer as to what could have caused it. Now,
and that's something as we progress through the show.
Exactly.
We're going to try to understand and look at the latest research and see if we can get a handle on what the heck is going on. We have Nancy Talbot of BLT Research with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your turtle tough shelter and accessories included at turtletoughshelters.com. That's turtle, T-U-F-F, shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at turtletoughshelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Crank up your savings at the Webb's headquarters for hand crank and solar power preparedness, 21stCenturyGoods.com. Save now on solar generators from $289, solar lanterns just $24.95, solar waterproof flashlights only $12.95, cook anywhere solar ovens from $279.95. Portable solar panels from 21stCenturyGoods.com give you the freedom to harness the power of the sun to charge your gear wherever you go. Show your patriotism with our line of solar flagpole lights. Plus, find a full line of emergency and shortwave radios, solar lanterns, and LED flashlights. And see our monthly two-for-one specials at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number two, the number one, ST, CenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. Spend $100 or more and get a free hand crank solar flashlight when you mention you heard us on GCN at checkout. Crank up your savings only at 21stCenturyGoods.com.
This is Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, and I'm here to say a good word or two about the Paracast, which I believe is the gold standard of paranormal radio. Listen to it if you can.
We have Nancy Talbot of BLT Research. We're focusing on crop circles, and what she's doing now is going into the analysis of the circle, how plants reacted, what's going on, and we're trying to get an overall picture of what this means so we understand the effect, and maybe that will give us more clues as to the cause.
Correct.
Nancy?
Correct. Yes. Okay, so Levengood does his standard plant thing. He has nothing to do with any of the rest of the work. I went looking for a materials scientist who had never heard of crop circles. I wanted no bias whatsoever in this work. I found a man on the West Coast, Dr. Sampath Iyengar, who is a credentialed materials scientist with his own laboratory. He had never heard of crop circles, didn't have the faintest idea what they were. His job was simply I sent the soil samples to him. He extracted the clay minerals. He mounted them on these mounts that go in the machine. And then he ran the X-ray diffraction machine. That's all he did. And he produced these graphs, which the machine produces, which then have to be analyzed in order to see whether there's any change in the crystalline structure of these very specific clays. That's not what he does. All he does is run the equipment. I then took his results and hired a statistician. And again, I went looking for one who had never heard of crop circles. And I found a guy with an MIT background who was available, had never heard of crop circles, and the data that had been gathered by Sam Iyengar was then sent to the statistician. It's important also to know that none of these people know each other. These are all people I picked totally independently of each other. The statistician was given the results of the soil samples first and asked simply to run these basic statistical analyses to tell us whether, in fact, was there a change? Was there a difference in the crystalline, the ordering of the crystalline structure in the samples as opposed to the controls outside the circles? We thought there was none. Sam and I both, from looking at the peaks, thought, no, there wasn't going to be. And Sam, in fact, apologized to me because it cost quite a bit of money to get this work done. And he said, oh, Nancy, I'm so sorry. I think that we don't have anything. And I said to Sam, we've either got it or we don't. This is what we're trying to find out. Don't worry about it. So he sent the data off to the guy who does the – no, actually not. He sent it to me. And I sent it to the guy who's doing the statistics. He did his work. And after he had finished, he calls me up and he says, yes, at the 95% level of confidence, we have a change in the crystalline structure of these clay minerals inside the crop circle itself. Compared to the controls, we have a statistically significant change. What this means is that the crystalline structure of the clay minerals in the surface soils, we're not talking about sedimentary rock here, we're talking about surface soil. Those clays showed the change in crystalline structure. I knew, I'm no geologist, but I knew enough to know that that was very significant. We were not sure he was right, and so I actually had somebody else redo the statistics, and they came back the same way. So at that point, I knew I needed a real authority to evaluate what this all meant. So I went to Dartmouth. There's a man there who was literally the world's authority on clay mineralogy and the X-ray diffraction technique. This is Dr. Robert C. Reynolds, Jr. He was head of the Department of Earth Sciences at Dartmouth. He was previous president of the American Society of Mineralogical Clay Mineralogy. He was a very well-known person in his field and considered by his peers literally to be, you know, the world's authority in all this. The fact that he was at Dartmouth, I'm very close to Dartmouth, I live in Cambridge, made it possible for me to go to him and to ask him if he would look at our data. When I arrived, I showed him our work, and he immediately said, oh no, no way, this cannot be, you must have made a mistake. Because he knew that the only thing that can cause this change is this geologic pressure, or heat, but mostly geologic pressure. So he asked if he could see the mounts, the work that Sam had done. And so we sent a bunch of the mounts directly to Dr. Reynolds. He redid the work on the X-ray diffraction machine at Dartmouth. He got exactly the same results. He then decided that maybe the statistical work was not done correctly. And so he redid that himself also, and he got exactly the same results. At that point, he had a few ideas about what other things that might be causing what we were looking at. He asked us to do a little bit more work, which we did, and the additional work did not provide the answer. At this point, Dr. Reynolds, who was slowly being a little bit more open with me, his wife called me, and she told me that she had heard her husband on the telephone with his son talking about these results because he couldn't believe his eyes. And she remembers, and she told me this clearly, she heard him say to his son, I wonder if these people know what they've got, meaning did I know? Well, of course, I didn't know in the way he knew, but what he was saying was that these were phenomenal results. He couldn't explain them. If you had had the kind of geologic pressure necessary to create this change in the crystalline structure, you would literally have obliterated the plants in that field. You'd have smushed them into nothingness. He suggested that possibly, maybe, heat in the range of 600 to 800 degrees Celsius for a period of hours might cause the same change. But obviously, had there been heat in the range of 600 to 800 degrees C, even for an instant, much less hours.
Yeah, bye-bye plants.
Exactly. The plants would all be gone.
It would be a very nice little fire.
Well, it would have been a hell of a fire is what it would have been.
I was just kind of understating it there.
So the point is that given the actual facts that the plants were intact, that, you know, none of these conditions necessary to produce this change were in fact present, Dr. Reynolds finally said to me that in his opinion, and remember, we're talking now about a guy considered to be the world authority in this area, he said we must be looking at the effects of an energy unknown to science.
which gets back to the UFO sightings that were allegedly witnessed by multiple witnesses over the field during the time period where these circles were formed.
I didn't even know about this at that time.
Right.
He was not at all. It was never, the UFO thing was never brought up. We simply
right.
knew that if you can have the plants affected in one way and the soils immediately around them in exactly the same sampling locations affected in a different, much more radical way, that there's no energy known to science or known to Dr. Reynolds anyhow that could cause those changes. Because the next thing I did was I called the statistician back and I took all of William Levengood's work and I took those statistics and I asked the statistician to see, are the changes in the plants occurring at the same sampling locations as the changes in the clay minerals? That result came back as yes, at the 99% level of confidence. It doesn't get any better than that in science. I mean, the 99% level of confidence. Whatever caused the changes in the plants also caused the changes in these clay minerals.
Is there a possibility, Nancy, that you could get Dr. Reynolds to maybe co-author a paper? That would be huge.
He and I began writing the paper.
Oh, right.
And unfortunately, partway through, his wife unexpectedly, suddenly died. Dr. Reynolds was very close with his wife, and for a while, it was impossible for me to push. I mean, he was grieving, and I just simply, it wasn't right. And so I let several months go by, and then right after I got in touch with him again, I went back up to Dartmouth, and we were going to try and finish this. He wanted me to submit it to Nature, and I was laughing to myself because I'm thinking Nature would never. But Dr. Reynolds was famous, and it was quite possible
yeah.
he might have done it with his name. He wanted me to be the primary author, and I told him that was insane.
I'll tell you what, before we get too crazy, we have Nancy Talbot of BLT Research focusing on the research into crop circles, trying to figure out what is causing those incredible effects. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.